Oh yeah, we're about to get nerdy with behind the scenes tech talk as it pertains to social media, video platforms, podcasting, websites, and more. So take off those pocket protectors. You won't need them here. Pour yourself a tall glass of Code Red Mountain Dew, get comfortable, and prepare to talk nerdy. After Hours starts right now.
What's up, crew? It is time for After Hours. Hopefully everybody's still awake. Hopefully you're doing good. Hopefully you're dry. Good Lord, with all the rain everywhere, right? But tonight, we kind of promised it last week. We talked about live streaming and different ways to live stream in light of the YouTube Hangout issue and all that good kind of stuff. So kind of promised tonight we would maybe go in depth a little bit with OBS, which is Open Broadcaster Software. Kind of give some tips on the features, a little bit of walkthrough on maybe how to adjust some settings, just some different things like that, so that if you do decide to use that for your live streaming, which in the near future we may very well have to, at least you'll be familiar with a few of the things and how it works. Now, I'm gonna do this without any screen sharing. I'm gonna try to be as informative with the directions and the controls and where to click and stuff like that as possible for everybody that may be listening in replay, either YouTube, GunStreamer, podcast platform, whatever. Of course, you never know. But remember that whether you're out there in the live chat on the YouTube side, the Gun Channel side right now, or if you're listening in replay, there's always the comments below. So if you need help or anything like that, then jump down in the comments and we'll be sure to cover those. Now, what is DT Pfeiffer? It's throwing out a link on the Gun Channel side. Hopefully doesn't screw up too much. I'm not sure what this video is. Oh, he's talking about something about the trending tab. Yeah, interesting. A video from Coffee Break. What else we got here? It's a fairly new video too, so I'm going to bookmark that. I'm going to go through that. Looks like there's a lot of pretty high profile YouTubers on that. So I don't think if we're a firearm-related channel, yes, I cleared my throat on purpose. If we're any type of a firearm-related channel, I don't think we have to worry too much about that trending tab, unfortunately. I don't think any of us are ever going to see that. That's one of the, I don't harp on biases with the YouTube platform too much, but that is one of the biases that is out there. Is I think they're going to restrict the turning tab. So thanks for that, DTP. Appreciate it. And yeah, I'll definitely watch that and we can talk about that more maybe later on. So let's introduce the panel. We'll jump on into this and start going through some settings and stuff like that. Snob is with us. What's up, Snob?
Maybe. Wrong mute button. My bad. I pressed the one on my mic. I didn't realize my computer was muted, not my mic. Glad I could be here. I didn't get to be here in a few weeks. Been busy, so glad I could be here. Thanks for the invite, man.
Busy sometimes is a good thing, but yeah, welcome. Nice Strike. What's up, bud?
Hey, how's it going?
Budget. How are you? You working?
No, I'm actually home tonight. Yeah, my wife's not feeling so good, so I had to stay home and take care of her if she needs me. So,
oh, that's not great. Hopefully she gets to feeling better.
Yeah.
Mr. Gizzard, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for the invite.
Bet. And what up, Ghost?
Well, I'm rivaling Noah for trying to build an ark for the state of Arkansas. It's pretty wet here.
Ark Arkansas. Is there something
you
there?
Get it? You get it? Ark and Saw? Yeah.
Ark and Saw? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very well could be. Man.
Probably have to go up there and pick snob up too, because Tulsa's getting hit pretty hard too.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not to that point here. Our county is bordered by two, not major rivers, but fairly large rivers. And it's not that bad here. What the biggest thing with here is when it rains and it doesn't stop, you know what I mean?
Unfortunately I do. Yes.
If it ever stops here anyway, if it ever stops, it goes down pretty quick. If it would be a slow rain, it wouldn't be a problem, you know, that type of stuff. But you know, when you get 6 inches in 2 hours or some kind of silliness, then, yeah, it's pretty bad. Like I said, once it stops within an hour or something, it's down. I mean, it's wreaked all kinds of havoc by that time, unfortunately. But luckily, you know, we're not as bad as some of those folks off to the north. You know, maybe summer's coming. You know, I seen something today on the news that really boggled my mind. It was Bismarck, North Dakota. The temperature was 84 degrees in Bismarck, North Dakota. And I thought, oh, wow. You know, I bet they're dying in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Yeah, they're probably not used to seeing temperatures like that. But unfortunately, I saw something about a few weeks ago that said this El Nino little pattern that we're in is supposed to last through July. That's not good.
Yeah, because really we need the summer to try to dry some things out. And then it'll happen, and then there'll be another wave of it potentially come through. But yeah, let's get off into that. Let's get onto the topic, which is OBS, which is Open Broadcaster Software. Now, just a warning before we jump into this, as I said before, we're not going to be screen sharing. Hopefully, we'll be able to do a little more of that in the future. We're going to keep all this traditional podcast style. So pay attention. Pause, back up if you need to, take notes, ask questions, whatever, and we'll try to make this work. So if you hear anybody talk about OBS, what they're talking about is Open Broadcaster Software. You can go download this. Far as I'm aware, I mean, in my opinion, and we'll run this through the panel, but for what it is, I mean, it's a pretty great program. Works pretty great. I haven't found necessarily any drawbacks. Of course, I'm sort of simple with my use on it. But I want to run this through the panel and just get everybody's kind of initial opinion. I think everybody in here's got some type of experience with it. Ghost, we'll start with you. Thumbs up or thumbs down with OBS?
Well, I love OBS. I use it obviously for all my live streaming, but I also use it a lot for produce podcasts. I mean, produce videos also, you know, the recording of it and all that. I love OBS. I think it's great.
Gibbs, what about you?
Well, I don't have a whole lot of experience with it. I tried it on my laptop, but it confused me, and I kind of backed away from using it until I got maybe a little bit more experienced, or maybe had a chance to do something like tonight where I could get some practical advice on how to use it, because quite frankly, it overwhelmed me a little bit.
I got you. And with all the settings and different things on there, I certainly understand. I think after tonight, I think you'll doing simple things on it is pretty simple. So I think you'll get that figured out. Budget, your thoughts?
What he said. You know, I've played with it. Matter of fact, I kind of have it up running now and in a side window.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to use it live or anything because I'm not sure exactly how to get everything going right. I know there's a significant delay between what I say and when the video takes up, so I'm not sure how to. That would just drive me nuts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm gonna have to play with it some more for sure.
Right, and that has to do with the encoding and stuff. I mean, it takes time to do that. I'm sure. Probably the faster your PC is, the faster your internet connection is, stuff like that, the more seamless that'll be. But there's still going to be that lag. And yeah, we'll go ahead and answer that one, because that could be a pretty common question. And best thing to do is just not watch or listen to yourself through there. Just make sure that your frame is right. You know, you're in the frame properly. Everything is there. And then just kind of forget about it until it's time to end the stream. That's the best way, I think, to manage it. Nice strike. I know you've started playing with it recently. Your thoughts, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I've been playing with it longer than recently, but recently I've been playing around with the lower thirds.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, I've used it before to, you know, when we play video games with Matt, sometimes I've been doing that. I've also been just doing it with, you know, just playing video games myself, by myself, and just, you know, sharing it. But I'm a big fan of OBS because it's the only open source software out there that does literally everything you need it to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, unlike some of the paid ones, there's some good paid ones, but unfortunately, you know, the paid ones require you to pay money out, and mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you don't want to do that.
All right. Yeah, I got you. Snob, your thoughts?
I use it every live stream now. I've used it maybe 2-3 months, I guess, to run a, you know, just so I could run the green screen. The only reason why I use it at this point.
Right.
But I mean, it's, and see, I have a different opinion than they said. They acted like it was complicated. I watched like one YouTube video on it and I was like, oh, this is really easy. Now, before I watched the YouTube video, I tried it just trying to figure it out myself and didn't have any luck, but I thought it was pretty simple.
And we're going to walk through that on the green screen. I will. The green screens, for those that don't know, green screen works off of something called chroma key. And to enable chroma key on your sources and stuff in OBS, it is, I've got to admit, it's a little hidden, in my opinion, the way it goes about it. It's got it listed under filters. Long story, but I will, we'll definitely get into that. G-Webs has jumped into the room. How are you, G?
Good. Thanks for inviting.
Just running it through the panel on OBS. I don't know, you know, how much experience you've got with it, but thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you have an opinion?
I had OBS for a while, but I didn't. It was no fun for me. A lot of time spent in the bathroom and napping. So,
right.
Now, I don't do camera stuff too much, right? I just screen share. So Hangouts have worked for me, and change scares me. So I haven't used it. I've used it, but I haven't explored it because I don't need the bottom third and all the stuff that you guys are talking about.
Right.
But I'm interested because I think everybody's probably been saying it, that this is the next step. So it's where we're all going. So we're all going to learn it eventually.
Right. Yeah. I kind of led off with that, you know, eventually we're going to have to, this might be, you know, the norm, you know, is using OBS, kind of like the norm now is using Hangouts. And yeah, you're able to, you know, take and open windows, and we'll get into that with some of the settings and stuff. You could basically do everything you do in Hangouts, which is kind of a good thing, even if you don't use it for video. Now I'll echo real quickly what Ghost said, that I too, I don't use it to record produced videos, but I use it pretty exclusively for recording the Fire and Friday podcasts, which is just the audio side of things. So the being able to adjust audio levels, and I actually have, it's got a, you know, once you get it installed and bring it up, you'll see it's got a mixer component to it. And you can adjust things around there. Pardon me there. So a couple of things I'm gonna throw out there right off the bat for those that might be taking notes or thinking about something. It's when you get this installed, there's all types of plugins out there. So, you know, you may be wanting to do some weird off the wall, whatever stuff, or maybe more mainstream stuff. It just, you know, doesn't work out of the box, right? Two plugins I think that are going to be critical, I believe, moving forward. So it would be a good idea to go ahead and get those installed as you're playing around with this, and maybe play around with those plugins. The first, we talked a little bit last week about using Skype, and going through OBS and all of that good kind of stuff. In order to make Skype work with OBS, you have to have a plugin called NDI New Tech. The letter N, the letter D, the letter I, and tech is T-E-K, New Tech. Could do a quick Google search for that or whatever, and it's going to bring it up. You'll need that in order to be able to pull the Skype stream into OBS. And then the second is for, you know, Hangouts, at least until it does or does not go bye-bye. But also potentially working with other programs as well, even the little YouTube live cam feature in the new studio, if you've ever looked at that on YouTube. It's got the where you just click and it'll pull a feed from your webcam. Well, if you've got the my mind just went blank. The virtual cam.
Oh, virtual yes, virtual cam.
My mind went blank on the plug-in. Yeah, if you run the virtual cam plug-in, then when you fire up your YouTube thing, it will actually give you OBS, basically OBS virtual cam, as an option. So anything you've got set up in your OBS, you know, it sees that as basically what's coming from a camera, right? It spoofs it. And that's essentially what OBS does. It whatever is integrated into the sources, the audio video sources and all that good stuff, it basically captures that, encodes that, and then streams that to wherever it needs to be streamed. And Nightstrike mentioned video gaming and stuff earlier, so I mean Twitch, and you know, there's all kinds of places you can actually stream to. So let's talk about real quickly. Let's go to the settings. I think I want to talk about settings real quick first. And I want to talk about this for a couple of reasons. Number one is people don't quite understand, I think, the relationship with how OBS, you know, puts things in play to those lives, you know, those live streaming platforms. And then second of all, your internet may be crappy or, you know, something like that. And we did hit on that a little bit last week, but we'll go into a little more detail right now. So if you're taking notes or whatever, if you bring up your OBS on the far right side, you're going to have some buttons there. It's going to start with controls, going down the list. It's start streaming, start recording, studio mode, settings, and exit. Okay. So if we're doing something like Ghost talked about earlier with Record and Produce Podcast, the start streaming obviously is what you would use to start that stream. Once all your settings were correct, anyway. And then if you were going to stream to a platform like YouTube or something like that, obviously you would click the start streaming. Once all of that starts, those buttons turn to stop streaming and stop recording. So just reverse action once you're done. So let's go for now, though, into the settings. And let's say that we're going to... Let's say we're going to stream to YouTube, and any other platform, it's going to be a similar thing. So what you're going to do is you'll first set up the stream in your YouTube studio. You can do this under the classic, or you can do this under the new beta. When you do that, it's going to give you some information. That's going to tell you, you need to put this, you'll plug this into your, you know, streaming software, into your encoding software, whatever. And what you want to look for is that stream key, right?
Are you screen sharing?
I'm not screen sharing. I can't screen share. So this is a verbal tutorial, and people just have to kind of take notes. But
what page are you on then?
What page am I on? Yeah, right.
No, what page of the settings are you on?
I haven't clicked settings yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about getting the stream key. So just talking about how the platform that you're going to stream to, when you set that live stream up, will give you the stream key. So in this case, we'll use YouTube because everybody probably is more familiar with that. When you go in, like I said, through the classic studio or through the new beta, studio beta, and you, where you schedule them in or you want to go live now or whatever, then what that will do is that will give you Once you set that stream up, it will give you that stream key. Now, if you go into settings, here is where we go in, and you've got several tabs on the left. It's going to start out with general. Going down the list, you go to stream, output, audio, video, hotkeys, and advanced. So we're going to go, obviously, to the stream tab. And for YouTube, it's pretty easy because inside that stream tab, you basically have three little boxes, three little settings. It's going to be the service, the server, and the stream key. Remember I mentioned that, you know, YouTube or whatever platform is going to give you that stream key, right? Well, with the service for YouTube, it's going to be pretty easy. If you click the little drop-down menu, it's got Twitch, it's got YouTube, it's got Smashcast, it's got Twitter, it's got Facebook Live. It has all of those, you know, mainstream services. They're all there.
How come GunTube.org isn't in there?
Right.
We're not big enough yet.
Right. So anyway, so, you know, obviously you're going to pick YouTube there. And then it's going to give you the default, the best default server. So you don't got to mess with that. From there, you'll paste your stream key into the box there where it wants the stream key. And that's pretty much it for the stream tab. If you're going to stream to YouTube. Now, since we're
on that page, let me ask you guys, do you use this automatically streamed file box and then keep a file? Does it create a file on your hard drive then of your stream?
No.
Does anybody else use that?
No, I don't use that feature.
Because that seems kind of cool. I just noticed that as we were farting around right now that you can click this and it sounds like it's going to put it in this file path.
It will. Yes, you can save what's local. Yeah, what's going into it local. Sure. Yeah, more or less both at the same time, right? It's kind of like doing a produced video at the same time you're streaming it, and you don't have to rely on YouTube's replay or whatever.
And didn't you say something about you don't need to stream this? You can just set this up, invite people in, and perhaps use this as like a screen capture then?
That is the option. Before we went to settings, that's the start recording option. That is the recording option, not the streaming option. But yes, absolutely. You can start recording and then they'll just drop a file in your, by default, it drops it in your videos folder. Yeah.
Yeah.
So moving on, since we're in settings here, we've got that YouTube key. Now, that is going to be for those that have a faster computer, for those that have, you know, a fast internet connection, stuff like that, then that's pretty much all you're going to have to do as far as tweaking any settings in there in order to be able to use OBS fairly optimally, I guess, is the phrasing. But we're going to go through a couple of other settings here. So if you're out there, if you're listening and you... Maybe you don't have the fastest computer. Maybe you don't have the fastest internet. You might want to play around, tweak some of these other settings we're fixing to talk about real quick. So next we go down to output. From there, we want to look at the very top of the settings screen under output. We've got output mode. Now what we want to do for output mode is we want to take that to advanced. And don't let it get you too overwhelmed. It's what we're going to do here is not anything that crazy, right? So
using different versions or something. I have an advanced, but I don't have one for out. What'd you say? Out.
Where?
You go to output mode and then go output.
When's the last time you updated your stream?
I don't know. I just tried to update it a minute ago. It said when I go to help.
That's a good update. Well, that's a valid point and a good question because I am on the latest version.
But so, it says that I don't have any updates. Am I in an old version maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, so yours looks nothing like mine. Here, I'll screen share mine for you, G.
It tells me I'm on, whoops, what happened? I'm on, I don't want to come over here. Oh, it doesn't even tell me.
Can you see mine?
That's what it looks
totally like. That looks totally different. Yeah. Totally different.
Yeah, you need to go and update G.
Yeah, got the older version. That's all.
Back in my day, OBS was gray and little, and it looked like a Macintosh window.
Right? Yeah. So if you change that output mode under the output output tab, change that to advanced, it's going to give you all kind of weird stuff's going to pop up. Like I said, don't freak out. There's two things under here that you kind of want to pay attention to, like I said, especially if you're having if you got a slow internet, slow computer, something like that. The first is going to be, if you look down that list of all these different settings, the first is going to be the bit rate. And the second is going to be the CPU usage preset. Okay. So we'll hit the CPU usage preset first, because that one's easy. You pretty much, and you can do this even if you have a faster connection. You need that probably set on faster. You could play with bumping that up and down. If you click, you've got options from placebo, very slow, slower, slow, medium, fast, faster, very fast. You get the point, right? So you can bump up to very fast. You can bump down to fast. But for everything I've played with and most everything I've read, leaving it on faster for most PCs seems to be the optimal play. More importantly, though, especially if you're dealing with slower internet, is going to be that bit rate. So what you want to do is you want to take that bit rate and you want to adjust it basically according to what all's going on with your bandwidth, with your internet. Okay. I'm going to use my example here that I'm on a 1 meg up connection. So 1 meg being, 1,000, okay. 1,000 kilobytes. So remember that your bit rates are going to be, it's all metric system. Hopefully we're used to that, right? So 1 meg is going to be 1,000 basically on the bit rate. So what I need to do, because by default it's going to be higher than that, right? So what I'm going to want to do is I'm going to want to drop that down, but I don't want to necessarily drop it down. I don't want to drop it down too far. I want to account for, what it's telling this setting is telling it to do is basically it's saying, hey, you have this much bandwidth available, right? It's telling OBS, it's telling Open Broadcast System, this is how much you have available. So, by the time that, I swap some windows, I do some other things, I don't want that at a 1,000. If my internet happens to fluctuate just a little bit, and I got to say, even though I'm only a meg, it's generally pretty stable. So that's why I've bumped mine down to 800. But let's say you've got a 5 meg connection, right? Well, that would be 5,000. You could actually.
Are you sure 800 is right? I've got mine at 8,000.
Do what now?
Are you sure 800 is right? I've got mine at 8,000.
If you've got a 1 meg connection, yeah. 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 If you've got 8,000, then you need a minimum of like an 8 meg connection to be able to stream what it's encoding properly. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Let's say that you've got a 5 meg, right? That would be 5,000. So you wouldn't want your bit rate there to be any higher than 5,000 for sure. And you could give yourself even more buffer in case, like I said, your internet, is wishy-washy. Some cable connections and stuff like that fluctuate wildly. It may be 5 meg 1 minute and it may be 3 meg the next, right? So you kind of got to know your internet connection and know what your averages are and set that bit rate accordingly. You want it slightly lower, than what your average upload speed is going to be. So hopefully that makes sense. Any questions on that particular part of it?
So you're saying you use 800?
Yeah, I use 800. Yep.
All right. That sounds pretty low, but okay.
It's extremely low, but my internet's crap.
Right. Yeah. I understand that. I'm not arguing.
Right. Yeah. This is, you know, I caveated this, you know, the bitrate by saying if your internet is crap, then this is likely what you're going to have to do for it to work properly. Otherwise, you're going to be, there's going to be all kinds of buffering and weirdness going on. And we know people out there, I mean, chime in if you hear what I'm saying, because we know people out there gripe and complain when there's a lot of buffering, right?
And you recommended the CPU setting to be very fast, correct?
Faster.
Faster, okay.
Yeah, you could play with that, bump it up and down. That's kind of going to depend on, obviously, what type of computer you've got and that sort of stuff. But typically, everything that I've read on this and with playing around, it doesn't really make any difference for me going above faster. Once I get to that, there's really no benefit, because my computer is not fast enough. Now, if you've got latest greatest, then yeah, I mean, maybe you can, and it make a difference. I mean, you could play with that and see. Go ahead.
Is there an OBS app or equivalent OBS client for mobile for phones?
That's a good question.
I don't know of one.
I've never seen one, and I would think we'd see somebody using it if it did exist, right? So I think there's not.
There is a, I believe that Streamlabs does.
Now, Streamlabs does, but it's very, very similar. It's almost identical, but not regular OBS, yes.
Right, yeah. Now, Gizzard, let you jump in real quick because you were having some crazy stuff there. What's going on? You can't find the...
You're talking about CPU usage. I didn't see that setting anyway.
Okay. Now, you're under settings. Did you got the latest version, first of all?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're under settings, right?
Right.
You're under output, right?
Right.
So if you're looking down at all the different boxes, you're going on down about midway through the screen. You've got rate control, bit rate.
Yep.
Keyframe, and then CPU usage preset.
No.
Well, what rate control are you at?
Okay, hold on. Are you under, at the very top, under output mode, are you under advanced?
No.
There you go.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Which rate control do you use, Clover?
CBR.
CBR? Okay. I'm already on CBR, so.
Yeah, it's default. Yeah. If anything's default, I haven't mentioned it. But I'm glad you said that because that needs to be said out loud for sure. If we're not mentioning it, then it's a default. So since we're still under output, we're going to talk about this. It doesn't really come into play necessarily, but we're going to talk about this. If you go... under output again, and you have the output mode set to advanced, then you've got these little tabs underneath there. You've got streaming, you've got recording, audio, and replay buffer, four tabs. So we're going to go now to the recording tab. And this is where the G-Webs was talking earlier, and if we're not going to stream, if we're going to just record, or if we're going to stream and record, then this is where you can set your path, because your recording path is in there, and everybody knows, hopefully at this point, if you're this deep into the game, you know what a file path is. But that's where you can click and set where your stuff goes. It goes into videos by default. And then you've got a recording format. Now, I leave my format set on FLV. And because that just seems to encode quicker. I think Budget had mentioned earlier, he talked about some lag and stuff like that.
Is that because they give that FLV file format gives you the most flavor?
It could be. It very well could be.
FLV, that's Flash Video, isn't it?
FLV is, I don't know, to be honest with you.
I think front loading VHS. It's front loading VHS.
It's a VHS.
No, it's
front right. loading where you had to shove it in the front and it would.
Yeah, pretty sure. Down. I'm pretty sure that's Flash Video. Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure. You get with all the acronyms and stuff like that. I don't remember a lot of the times, but I think that's what it is. Yeah. And yeah, it's just FLV that one
is Flash Video. Yes.
That one just encodes faster and everything. So that's really all you have to mess with under that output tab. Okay. Skip it on down. There's nothing we got to do really with audio. It's fine. There are a couple things under the video tab under settings, though. And we talked about a little bit about this last week. So if you go under video, you've got your base resolution. You've got your output resolution. You've got your downscale filter. And then you got your FPS or frames per second under there. Now, I can tell you this. If you're streaming to YouTube, it's going to give you an error if your resolutions in there are set to anything lower than 1280 by 720, which is going to be 720p. You can lower those if you want to. Personally, I leave them on that. I don't have a big, huge problem. My connection is fairly slow. One thing that I've noticed that the streams get really weird when those two are out of whack. If your base resolution doesn't match your output resolution, it's like that downscale filter kicks in and that causes CPU usage, and that's more lag on your internet and a lot of weird things. So my recommendation is going to be to leave the base resolution and output resolution, make sure those are the same. And like I said, you really don't need to go any higher on either one of them than 1280 by 720 because YouTube's not going to accept that anyway. Downscale filter, leave it alone. It's going to be default on bicubic. I would leave that there. And then frames per second. We hit on this a little bit last week. It kind of depends on how much action is going on the screen, honestly. Frames per second is exactly what it means. That's how many frames, how many pictures, basically, that camera is taking in a second, right? If you've ever flipped through, had one of those comic books, right? It's a book and you flip the pages, you fan the pages real quick. Well, imagine flipping it fast where everything looks smooth and then flipping it slow where it's all choppy. His arm moves just a little bit every time as he's, picking up something or whatever, as opposed to that real fluid movement when you're flipping through that book really fast. So take that into consideration. Think about that. That's how frame rates kind of work, right?
So do you think that a higher frame rate is going to be a CPU thing, or do you think it's going to be a bandwidth pipe connect, the pipe issue, or both?
It's going to be both.
So if you've got a bad computer with the biggest internet connection, you still can't ask for a lot of frame rate because your processor has to create that frame rate. Well, and you might have the smokinest computer that can handle frame rate, no worries. But if you've got a small pipe, you're never going to be able to cram it down there.
Yep.
There's also one other thing to take in consideration with your frame rate. It's dependent on what your camera is capable of.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if your camera does 720p at 30 frames per second and won't go any higher than that, then that's what you're stuck at.
That's
if
your camera can go
1280 by 720 at 60 frames per second, then that's the highest you can go.
Right. It will still work. Okay. If you like MindStrike says, if you have a camera that's say 720 at 30 and you set your OBS to 60, it's still gonna work. But you're not going to get 60 because your camera is not capable of it. So yeah, it's definitely not going to override the hardware.
You can't create frames of video that didn't exist. So all it can do is waste bandwidth, shoving two pictures to put two frames out every time because it's got to fill the pipe.
Right. So what you want to do with this is you want to is with your frame rates is you want to determine, like G-Web said, what can your computer handle? You need to be looking at factors like what your computer can handle. You need to look at factors like how fast is my internet, and you need to look at what am I trying to stream? Is it like I am here where I don't have my camera on? It's just an avatar on the screen. It's just audio. It really doesn't matter, right? That my avatar is not moving around the screen or anything. So why do I need any frames? So in this instance, I would set it down as low as it'll go, which is 10. And that's going to save me processor usage, as G-Web mentioned, and that's going to save me bandwidth because it's not having those extra frames to have to process, to render, and then to stream, to, you know, use bandwidth. But, you know, let's say that it's a conversation and you got two people up on the screen and their cameras are on. If there's not a lot of action and it's just talking, then, you know, 30 frames a second is probably the maximum. You know, 60 is really when you get into action and HD and things like that. You could get by with 30 pretty good. And if it's, again, if it's just like an interview style setting, even 20 is not absolutely terrible. Was you going to say something, not Shrek?
Yeah, I just wanted
to interrupt him.
I just wanted to lay it out there that, you know, if you're just doing video for like a hangout, like with your camera on for like a lower third, 30 is probably the best setting.
And again, unless your internet's not is having trouble trying to, you know, process that, and in 20, depending on what's going on the screen, on the camera, right, 20 may work. I mean, nobody may notice the difference between 30 and 20. If you're dancing the jig on screen or something, then yeah, I mean, you probably see the difference between 20 or 30. If you're sitting there talking, you're probably not going to see that much of a difference between 20 and 30.
Though there is something else to note, and you can go other settings, like Clover said, lower. Another one is 29.97. That works just as well as 30 as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And 24 is standard for NTSC, which is basically everything in the U.S., you know, that we view. But yeah, that's something that you can play around with. You just need to be aware that it's, like I said, it's, or G-Web's actually said, it's dependent upon your processor, your computer speed, your internet connection, and what you want to accomplish, you know, what you want the end product to look like. Do you want it to be fluid, or does it even matter if it's fluid? So with that, we're kind of through the settings, everything that's anywhere near important anyway. There's tons and tons of stuff you can jack around with in here if you want to. I would advise though, if you get to playing around, because I did this. I played around way too much and I didn't remember what the default settings were or anything else. Notepads, make notes somewhere. Ghost likes, you know, spreadsheets, whatever, but make notes of what you change. Because if you don't, you're looking at having to uninstall the program, wipe everything out, and start all over. So make notes of those little changes as you go along, as you're tweaking things. That way you can back up and just change that one thing. You remember, you know, you got something to go back to remind you what you did. Go ahead, G.
So there's a lot of controls that we didn't have with Hangouts, or that we didn't need to deal with, depending on how you want to look at it. So I'm wondering, from the panel, I guess, and whoever might be watching, is all of this stuff a better thing? Like, you guys are looking forward to having control of all these aspects and elements, or is this all going to discourage people from even getting involved because it's so much more complicated?
That's a good question. Personally, I like the control. The only reason that I don't use OBS now is the same reason my camera is not on now, is because my internet can't really sustain it. Especially not the more people you get on a panel and stuff like that. So yeah, as I get better internet, getting a better PC, if that's needed, is not necessarily going to be an issue. And I will definitely use OBS more. But yeah, we'll run that one through. Snob, I mean, are you kind of a, do you prefer the controls and the customization with OBS?
Well, that is a yes and no. I love it once I figure it out. I hate it when I'm trying to learn it.
Gotcha. Right. No, I get it. Totally. Nice strike. Guessing you gotta like the control. You're a control.
I'm playing with the controls all over the place. So
right.
You know, my of course my settings are higher because I have better internet. I mean,
Sure.
We've discussed this, but again, I'm using the camera. Camera works. I'm liking the whole lower third thing. Now I know it's a more of an upper third than it is a lower third, but you know, I have to put it where you can actually see me. So
proper terminology would be a screen overlay, and we're going to get into that in a minute for those out there listening or whatever that is like lower third. What's he talking about? Or you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. So budget. Like the control features? Yes, no?
I'm reserving judgment until I learn it. Once I learn how to use it, then I'll determine whether or not I like it. Gotcha. But I think for now it would be premature to try to make any decision on that.
The jury's out. I got you. Gizzard, what about you? I know you said it at first it was overwhelming and probably still a little overwhelming, but are you starting to understand the settings and stuff a little more now and feeling comfortable with it?
I think so. This is kind of what I needed, somewhere to point me in the right direction.
Right. Ghost, what about you? I think safe to say you like them.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of OBS. And for me, like you said, for everyone starting out, it's a little overwhelming. But once you get used to it, like you said, once you get these initially set up, there's no reason to change them, you know?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, unless you got a better computer, you got a better internet connection or something like that.
Yeah, and that's something I actually do change that I've gotten used to, because for streaming, I use 720p, but I also record some of the produced stuff, and I'll switch it back to 1080 for the produced stuff. But yeah, for most people, if you're just using it for streaming, it's easy.
Right. So with the settings, like I said, I think we're done. So at the bottom, we'll apply, click apply, click OK. We're good there. That takes us back to our main screen. Again, we're working through the menus and controls on the right. So just to kind of recap, we went into whatever platform that we were going to stream to. We've obtained that stream key. In our example here, it's YouTube. We went into the studio. We started a new live stream. It's given us a key. We've got all that input. We got our settings set up. We're pretty much ready to go as far as streaming, right? Yeah, we haven't put any content into OBS yet, but we'll get to how to do that in a second. So now all you're going to do is click Start Streaming. At that point, whatever sources and things you have going into your OBS is going to start sending that to YouTube via that stream key or whatever platform you pulled that stream key from. And then on that end, it's not live yet, okay? When you click Start Streaming on OBS, does not mean that you're live on the platform side of things, okay? That platform is going to receive that stream information. It's going to recognize it. It's going to check it to make sure it's fast enough. There's no errors, whatever it's going to do. It's going to go through all of its checks and balances. And then at that point, through your YouTube studio or Twitch or whatever, it will have the option to go live, okay? And then to end, it's just you do it in reverse, okay? Your YouTube studio, for example, will have, you know, in broadcast or, you know, in stream, and then you'll come back to your OBS and you'll stop the stream on this end. The start recording, that's pretty cut and dry at this point. You hit start recording, whatever you've got as far as your sources and everything else in your OBS, they will, it'll start recording that to your hard drive, whatever location you'd set up under settings. And when you get done, you click stop recording. Pretty much that simple. Now, at the bottom of this OBS screen, it's got three things down there, and these three things are important. but it's got three things, and they're very helpful. Well, actually, it's got more than three things. It's got several things at the bottom. And if you're walking along, you're looking, you know what I'm talking about. But it will show you your live time. It will show you your recording time. It will show you your CPU usage. And it will show you your frames per second. Now, once you start streaming or recording, it will also show you a percentage of your dropped frames. Now, what that means is, let's go with 10 frames a second, because that's what I'm set up on, right? So, this is going to stream or record, either way, basically 10 pictures off that camera a second. Now, let's say that that's too much, right? I'm going to notice that through my dropped frames. I'm going to have a really high dropped frame rate. So if I'm streaming at 10 frames a second, and again, this is just an example. You could be streaming at 30 or 20 or whatever. Just saying, pay attention to that, because that indicates that there's an issue of some sort. If I'm dropping 80% of my frames, then something's wrong. Either my internet connection's not good enough, or my computer's not good enough, or something to handle that frame rate. So when we were talking earlier in the settings about playing with that frame rate, right, and finding that happy medium somewhere between, let's say, 30 and 10, that's one way that you could potentially set up some type of a test stream or something, right? And you can look at those numbers on the bottom of the main OBS page to kind of give you an idea. Okay, well, I'm dropping 70% of the frames. Maybe I need to stop this, go into my settings, and lower that frame rate a little bit. So let's jump to sources. Everybody has mentioned, or several people have mentioned, the lower thirds. And what a lower third is let's say that you've got your webcam on, right? Your webcam is pointed at you, whatever. You've seen it all over the place, little logos on the screen or a little banner across the bottom or at the top or whatever. That's what everybody's referring to as a lower third. It's a screen overlay to me. I get that the lower third kind of come into play more, I think more so with Hangouts because it called it that or whatever. But you know, you could have that stuff anywhere on the screen, and we're not going to get into that. I think we actually covered creating those lower thirds and those overlays in programs like Photoshop and GIMP and stuff like that on an After Hours months and months ago. So you may look for that if you're interested in that aspect. We're not going to talk about that tonight. But once you get that image created, then we're going to walk through the process of, you know, how we add our sources. We've talked about getting it to the destination. Now we're going to talk about what we get to the destination, and that's done under sources on the main page. So if you look under sources, you've got several little buttons there. Now the little gear that's in the middle has to do with the properties of said source that's highlighted. So the first thing we need to do, we've got a plus, a minus, a gear, an up arrow, and a down arrow. Okay. If you click that plus, that's to add a source. And you can add all kinds of things. This is where those plugins come into play that we talked about earlier. Hopefully, if you're out there, you're in internet, you're taking notes. But if we click on that, we've got all kinds of options of what we can use as a source. We can capture a window on our computer. We can get input from a video capture device, which is, of course, a webcam. We can put an image, for example. Let's say you go in, you add a source, and you're going to go to that video capture device. We'll click on that one. Then it comes up, and it's basically asking you, do you want to create a new source? We're going to tell that okay, and then that will bring up settings and different things with our webcam, right? And you've got all kinds of configurations in there, but by and large, you can just use the default options on that. You click OK, and that's going to put your webcam feed on display inside OBS, right? So that's going to kind of show you what it's going to stream. It's kind of going to give you that preview. Now, keep in mind, Budget mentioned earlier, if you're streaming and you're watching this, there is going to be a lag. It's gonna happen. But you can do a lot of things with that webcam feed once you've added it to your source. If you click on it on your little preview screen there on the OBS window, then you can move that around in the frame. You can make it bigger. You can make it smaller. You can stretch it. You can do all kinds of cool things, right? So we add the webcam. So now, okay, we've got the webcam up, and we want that lower third. We want that screen overlay that maybe it has our name, it has our channel name, website, whatever, right? So what we're going to do, if you've already created that image, okay, and again, we're not going to go into the details of creating the image, but I'll give you a basic rundown on how you create that image. It's basically going to be a banner, your name, you know, whatever you want. Okay, you're going to take you're going to make a picture, essentially the size of, and it's going to have a transparent background. Okay, so it's going to have to be something like a PNG file. You're going to make it the size of, preferably of the resolution that you're going to stream in. Okay, in our case here, it was 1280 by 720. Okay, we create that image. It's got a transparent background. Now, what we're going to do is on that transparent background, we're going to put logos and our name and other things, right, where we want them on the screen. Now, when we add that as a source here in a second, what that's going to do is that's going to let anything that is transparent on that image, obviously, you're going to be able to see through that. So that's going to overlay, that's going to put the images of the banners or the logos or whatever on top of that webcam feed. And you do that the same way. You click the plus arrow. You go to image. Works pretty much the same as we did the webcam, except for we're going to image. So plus arrow, image. We're going to create a new image. Yes, that's an okay. We'll click that. Now we've got to browse for that image. So everybody should be familiar with that, with the browse option, but you know, browse through your computer, find that image, and then tell it okay. And you might have to stretch that image again or move it around on the screen or something, depending on how you want it. But everything should be there. I mean, it should look fine. Did I miss anything? I'll open this up. Did I miss anything as far as the screen overlay or the lower thirds on setting it up in OBS? It seems pretty much, I think it was that simple.
The only thing I didn't hear you touch on was the order, because if you put it in the wrong order, you'll have it behind you.
I didn't, and that is true. So thank you for I did mention the up arrow and the down arrow. So okay, we've got our webcam on there. At this point, we've got our screen overlay or our lower third. So yeah, if we click on each individual source inside that source box, we can click on that first of all, and we can click the gear at the bottom, and that basically gives us advanced properties for that particular source. Okay, probably not much we're gonna have to do with that. but that's there in case you need to tweak some things or play around. What Snob's talking about is the up arrows and down arrows. If we highlight a source, we can move that as to whether it's on the top or the bottom or in the middle or wherever by highlighting it in sources and clicking those up and down arrows. So let's say you add that screen overlay, but it's not showing up. It's there in sources, but it's not on the screen. All you see is your webcam. Well, that may be because it's behind your webcam and you need to move it up in front of your webcam. So you would highlight that particular source, that is your lower third or your overlay, and click that up arrow. Now, I'm glad Snob mentioned that because there's a couple of other things in that sources box dealing with the individual sources that I use a lot, and I don't know if anybody else does either. But you've got a little eyeball icon, and you've got a little lock icon. So let's say that you have several sources, and throughout your stream, you want to show some sources and not show others. Well, one thing you can do is you can go in and you can click that eyeball, and that's gonna hide or show, depending on if it's an eyeball with a slash through it or just an eyeball, it's going to hide or show that particular source, okay? So let's say this could be used even if you have, let's say you have multiple lower thirds for multiple shows, right? Well, you could have all of those lower thirds in there as a source, and you simply hide the ones that are not applicable to whatever live stream you're currently doing. So it makes the management of all that. You don't have to add these sources every single solitary time. Now, the lock, that's a simple one too. That simply locks that down where no changes can be made to it. So as far as being able to move it up and down, whatever. You can't do anything with it. As far as the properties and all that kind of stuff. So once you get something set like you want, you can lock it down.
Yeah, I keep my webcam and my lower third and my little text up in the corner that's got my web address on it locked, and then I can change my background all I want, you know, just by flipping on and off the eyeballs or order.
Yeah. See, back when I was running a green screen, and we'll hopefully get on into that here in just a second on the chroma key and running a green screen and trying to hit that, but back when I was running the green screen, I had a bunch of different backgrounds, and I just kept them all hidden. I did what you were talking about. I had, you know, my webcam feed, my lower third was locked. I had all these different backgrounds, and all I had to do is just turn that little eyeball on or off depending on which background I wanted to use at that particular time or for that particular day. And I didn't have to go in and keep adding stuff like that. So it's kind of like Ghost was talking about earlier. He said once you get all of this set up, it's made in such a way, and the controls in it are in such a way that it's pretty easy to manage and facilitate. Did I miss anything else as far as lower thirds? Is there anything that sticks out in anybody's mind as, hey, this is important, we need to make sure people know this? Or did we pretty much cover it?
I think you hit most of it, yeah.
I think awesome. We covered it.
Awesome. Okay. So let's move on to the other thing, which is the green screen. Or the purple screen or the orange screen. And I know, Ghost, at one time you were running purple. Or are you still running purple?
No, when I first started, I was running purple, and I realized I wear a lot of blue, and it kind of got messed up. So I went with the full, you know, the what do you call it, zombie green screen, because that's, you know, unless you're wearing that, you can even wear green, but if you're wearing that, but if you're wearing purple or something like that, then it does kind of mess up with some blues every now and then.
Right.
I think one of the worst things is when you have bad green screen.
Exactly, right. Snop. I'm sorry. What?
Oh, I didn't know that was directed at me. I had no clue.
Now, lights on. There, yeah, and there's some prereqs to green screen use that I think we need to touch on real quick before we go into setting that up. Number one is, yeah, definitely color choice, because depending on what color clothes you wear, you know, if you wear a lot of blues, you know, you may want to stay away from a purple, and you obviously want to stay away from a blue, you know, background, you know, screen behind you. Now, let me back up just a second to say, when we say green screen, you don't have to go out and buy a green screen. It can be done with a bed sheet. It can be done with, you know, a lot of different things. Whatever you use definitely needs to be pulled tight. You know, or hanging straight. It doesn't need a lot of wrinkles and stuff like that in it. That potentially can cause a problem. Because as the light hits it, the places that have wrinkles can shadow, right? And the whole premise of the green screen, the whole premise of chroma key is colors have a number. Okay. When you're talking the computer world, when you're talking digital, colors have a number. And each little bitty variation of shade, you know, or hue or whatever is going to be a different number. So in order to pick up on a specific range, you want that, that background, you want that screen, quote unquote, that's behind you to be as consistently the same color as possible. So something fairly flat, is optimal. Something that is as far from any colors that you're wearing as possible is optimal. And lighting, because like I said, with the shadows and stuff, lighting is possible. If you light yourself, be mindful that you're not lighting yourself in such a way that's casting shadows on your screen behind you, because why? That can change if you move around. That can change those digital number values, and they may be out of or slightly out of the range that you've got set up for that green screen, which is one thing we're going to get into here in just a second. The remedy for that would be to backlight everything. In other words, instead of putting light in front of you, put it between you and the green screen, shining on the green screen to light up those shadowed areas. So am I missing anything on prereqs there? Does that sound pretty solid?
Yeah, I mean, if I could interject for just a second, as far as the lighting goes itself, and it's not the best thing to do is not having one light also. I go with two lights set at 45 degree angles, and I don't really point it at me. I point it at the screen because you want to have the most coverage of the light. So lighting is extremely important, and usually at least two lights, if not three, would be the best way to go.
Yeah, lighting is definitely a kicker. In my green screen, I literally went to Walmart and bought $9 worth of green fabric and put it up with thumbtacks, and it works fine.
That's what I use.
As long as the lights are on.
Yep. And it will do it. So, yeah, just be mindful of those things. Okay, so in order to set up, this is the part that Snob was talking about. OBS does make this a little bit difficult when it comes to setting up the chroma key, which is basically what picks up off the green screen, right? Or manipulates, I guess, the green screen. So what we're going to do is inside your sources, okay? We're going to click on that video capture device. We're going to click on your webcam within the sources. And if we right-click that, we've got all kinds of options, of course. But the one we're concerned with is close to the bottom, and it says filters. So go in there, and we'll click filters. And then we've got two little boxes that, of course, shows our webcam. And we've got two little boxes in there. The bottom one is effect filters. Okay, this is where your chroma key settings are going to be for your green screen. So you'll click the plus arrow at the bottom to add that effect filter, and then you'll go to chroma key. It's the should be the second one down on the list. It wants you to name your chroma key, name your filter. I'm sorry. From there, we'll click OK, which will name it. Then this is where it gets a little tricky. You want to be kind of sitting in front of your webcam, you know, in front of your green screen. And so it's going to have a bunch of different settings at this point, right? So you've got some, I guess it's some coarse settings and then fine settings, basically, is what it amounts to. But you've got the color key type. So it defaults to green. So if you're using a green screen, you're going to leave it green. If it's also got blue, magenta, and then a custom option. So if you're losing a blue screen or maybe a purple screen, you could go magenta, and that would kind of do a course adjustment. So what you're going to be looking at or trying to do is you want to then take your, from there, you want to take your fine adjustments, which is similarity, smoothness, and your key color spill. And you're going to work to slowly, you're going to slowly adjust those around those little sliders. And what that's going to do is anything as far as your green screen, you want it to what you're looking at on the screen. As you slide those around and you tune in that green screen, things are going to go gray. The green screen will go gray. And what that's indicating is that that's going to be a transparent area. Okay. That's going to be a transparent area where that green screen is at. And then you're going to place, of course, your image behind you digitally, of course. And all you're able to see is yourself and then that image behind you. So, set that color key in accordance, like I said, probably green. Most people are going to go green screen. And then just adjust your similarity, your smoothness, and your key color spill until you can get the most gray without graying out yourself, right? Or maybe your equipment or your microphone or your headphones or whatever. If you've got another thing that I've kind of learned with chroma key and with green screens is if you've got, I don't know how to explain this, but you're looking at this and you're sliding that around and things are starting to go gray or, you know, or whatever. If it's kind of speckledy looking in a certain area, and Snob, Jump In, Ghost, anybody else that's used the green screen, if you've got a little speckledy like area, like it's almost like snow on a TV, but it's gray, that usually when I was messing with it, that was an indication that there probably was like a shadow or something there. Have y'all
experienced that? it's lighting. Yeah.
That's what I was fixing to say. It's usually lighting.
Yeah. Yeah. So this can help you. This process can also help you move around and manipulate those lights. Okay. So once you get that set up and you've got, you know, as much of the solid gray color instead of green, then you, you just close that window out. And basically, as far as the green screen is concerned, you're good to go. Did I miss anything with that?
Can I add something real quick? I think this is something that a lot of people who start with green screen and the vast majority of people have issues with is kind of the discoloration of with the camera at your face and your clothes and all that. Before you even start messing with the chroma key settings in OBS, if you've got a webcam, most webcams will have settings as well. And if you've got a Logitech, they always come with a Logitech dashboard that you can change. Before you even start messing with the chroma key, get your camera settings with the colors. If it matches your shirt, make sure your shirt is the same color it is in real life. Make sure you're not looking sunburned or you're, you know, it's got enough. Do all the camera settings before you start messing with the chroma key, because when you start messing with the chroma key slides, it's going to affect some of the coloring. But if you've got your camera set up prior of all the right color settings, then it makes it a lot easier.
I was gonna... You're not babbling your two different pieces of tech where it's going to end up looking even more artificial, right? If you just tweak one, then your other one might not even need a filter at all.
Exactly.
Yep.
I was going to say, I also use the color correction in the effect filters. I've never touched it since the first time I set it, but I got it set.
But when did Snob get back from the islands?
Yeah, he's sunburned right now, isn't he?
Yeah, he looks like it.
I don't know. I can't see him. So
I'm really red now.
Oh my goodness. Those lights are, they're definitely working for your green screen, but they're got to be hurting your skin.
Right. Snob's got carcinogenic, so whatever. Carcinogenic.
Light. I don't know how in depth you're going to go. You mentioned apps before, and I'm leaving it up to the DGS audience if I'm going to jump out and start that show. But because right. you got a lot to talk about still with this.
We're pretty much done with the three things I was going to cover was the streaming setup, the overlays. And the
Snob looks 100% different right now, whatever he did, doesn't it? Look at that background. It looks totally crisp now. Before it was kind of sketchy, right? I guess you're ghosting a little bit still. But the background before was itchy, and now it's super clear. Anyway, I was going to say there are apps that I've seen Hosh use, right? He uses this a lot for his ham radio crash course podcast. And I've seen things like where if somebody does something, like you can make a light trigger, you can make something happen. You can make little animations happen and stuff. Or, you know, you address me, any of that stuff. You know, like a super chat, for example, might make a little animation happen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Streamlabs.
Well, yeah.
Well, you can do that with scenes, and there you could have 12 different scenes into one thing as well. That's a whole different issue.
Right. Yeah, that's a whole another hour or 2 hours conversation. Yeah. So,
yeah,
I was basically this was the starter course.
Well, one thing I do have to add that we haven't mentioned tonight, I don't think, and it's real quick and easy, is whenever you run it, your like your lower third text and stuff will be backwards to be correct.
Oh, that is true. Don't freak out about that. Yep. Yep, that is true.
Everything's reversed.
Right.
So test it on YouTube, because the first time I did it, somebody's like, oh, you're all backwards. I was like, what?
Yep.
Yep.
I had that yesterday.
Yep.
And your Mountain Dew is disappearing.
Yeah, it's clear Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
But Mountain Dew ice or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I had. So if anybody else has got anything else to add, as far as OBS, as far as the basics, you know, and I think that's the basics is the webcam, the overlays, the green screens, you know, that's that basic that gets everybody started. That's out there. That's, you know, wanting to stream in a little more advanced way, wanting the more control that we talked about, without getting too overwhelming with settings and options and things you can do. But if anybody's got anything to add,
jump in. I want to touch on plugins real quick. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you add a new plugin to OBS Studio, sometimes you may have to reboot your computer after you install the plugin, mm-hmm. especially when you're using the. I had to do that with the virtual cam in order to get that to work. So be aware that if you install a couple plugins to OBS Studio, you are going to have to reboot your computer in order for those settings to take effect.
Right, and that's pretty across the board when you're manipulating programs and plugins and stuff like that. You know, it's typically better to do a restart. That way, you know, they recognize your hardware properly. They recognize your other software that's running properly and all that good kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I think we need to let everyone know that just in case, because there might be somebody that says, I installed all this, but it's not working.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like when you call customer service and they say, have you unplugged it and plugged it back in? You know, or so, yeah. If you're having issues, you know, restart. You know, that fixes a lot of problems. So anything else before we jump out?
Just one real quick thing. I'm sure if anyone wants to know any more about like green screens or stuff, contact Ghost or me or you or somebody if you're trying to figure it out. I mean, not that I'm a professional at it, but I kind of learned a little bit about it.
Yeah. Through time. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we covered a lot here for the most part. You know, there wasn't any on screen. If you're listening to this on the podcast side, obviously there's none. So yeah, I mean, that's what the comments below are for. Use them and ask questions and all that good stuff, or these guys will give their plugs here in a little bit. For me, it's media@clovertech.com, and we'll try to answer any questions we can. Was that you, G, jumping in?
No.
Okay. I thought somebody was jumping in. So, yeah, with that, let's run it through and get the heck out of here and maybe do some DGS tonight. Snob, what you got coming up?
I got a couple more videos to drop, and so go check out my channel, and thanks for having me. Enjoyed the show, and glad to be back on it this week.
You bet. Thanks for the help with the green screen and all that good kind of stuff. What's about? Nice strike.
Thanks for the invite. Remember, check out guntube.org and hit or miss Tuesday nights 9 o'clock on the Night Strike One channel on YouTube.
Yep. Budget.
First off, thanks for the invite. As always, enjoy the show. Although I'm going to have to watch this one 2 or 3 times in the replay to absorb the information, that's for sure. As far as what I've got coming up, just a reminder to everybody, there will be a time change on the Right of the People coming up shortly. As a matter of fact, I do have a date for that now. It will be starting June 14th. On that episode, I will have to start doing the Right of the People at 11:15 p.m. Eastern. Probably run till about midnight because I don't want to tread on the DGS. So, you know, I have to start working afternoons for a while. I don't know if it's going to be temporary or permanent or what's going to be with that. But as soon as I find that out, I'll let you guys know. And speaking of which, we will be tomorrow at the regular time of 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Nice. Nice. Two apps. Other than DGS here in a few, what's
first off, don't worry at all if you run over time with the DGS. We now have a special that we're running with Clover, $400 a minute, and it's no big deal. You just write it off into your show's expenses, really.
Right. Yeah.
Put on the credit card.
Well, I will keep that in mind.
It's a corking fee. Yeah.
Like he emailed G-Webs, he'll send you his PayPal so you can go ahead and send him that money.
But do it as a personal thing because I don't want to have to pay the fees on it.
So we've got to raise some money super chats right now because we're 33 minutes we've corked. So what is that? I don't know how much it is, but hopefully the super chats start flooding in favor of that.
Tell you what, Clover, you're a good guy. Let's round it to $12,000.
Right. Yeah, right. All right, 12
not
people.
Not a problem.
12 people, $1,000. We can do this.
It's easy.
Right.
I just got some inside information. Second Amendment has been repealed, and it's all over. So we are going to be talking about that on the Daily Gun Show.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Gizzard, what you got coming up?
Tomorrow night, Foul Territory, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Sunday morning, Early Bird Chat, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. Love to have you, and thanks for the invite.
You bet. Ghost, bring it home.
I just want to make a comment out there. If you don't like what any of this is about and you have a lot of hate email, please send it to our customer service email. It's shootingleftofcenter@gmail.com. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Golly. Classic. So, yeah, that's going to do it for us. We will we'll be back, of course, next Thursday with some more nerdy topics. Until then, you've got tomorrow morning, maybe even this morning, depending on what time zone you're in right now. The Fire Friday podcast will release. We got Skip from Skip's Tactical is on the podcast. That was a great conversation with her, and highly encourage everyone to check that one out, of course. And then what else is going on? We got the Instagram chat on Monday. There's some Patreon stuff going on. Just all kinds of goodness. So jump over on clovertech.com. Check that out. While you're on clovertech.com, the FUDLife shotgun stickers that were in the patch batch are stickers. Listen to me, stickers. I've got the stickers too. So I'll pimp those out while I'm talking since I've done stepped on it. But the FUDLife shotgun patches that were in the patch batch, there are some of those in the store. So if you missed out on the patch batch, or if you just want, you know, more of them to hang on the wall or the roof of the pickup or whatever, you can go over there and pick those up there. That's it for this week. Till next week, stay nerdy.